Lord Jesus, we exalt you. There is none like you. Your presence is like heaven. We drink of your word today. We drink of your spirit. Give us an encounter. Let it be a transformation. Let someone catch some fire. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated for 10 minutes, with the exception of ministers. So you'll still be upstanding for some time. Okay. So you're going to preach with me. Now, please, for the next 30 minutes, you got to listen to me. Because the Holy Ghost is going to teach you some wonderful things you may never have heard before. Now, this morning, I'm teaching on spiritual intelligence. I know it's a message many have been waiting for a long time, but if you open up your spirit, today may be the best day of your life. Hallelujah. Now listen to me carefully. There are three things you need to understand as a Christian. Three things you need to understand as a Christian. Number one, life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Now it's very important for you to understand that life is spiritual, so you will have understanding of how to function as a Christian. Now, you need to understand, and at this point, that the spiritual world is higher than the physical world. That's A. B, the spiritual world gave birth to the natural world. In other words, the spiritual world is the mother of the physical world, which means that the physical world or the natural world is under the subjection of the spirit world, which leads us to the point C, that the spiritual world controls the physical world. Now please understand this, and it will help you for the rest of your life. I said that life is spiritual. And the reason why life is spiritual is because the spiritual world is higher than the physical world. Number two, the spiritual world gave birth to the spiritual world. To the physical world, sorry. And number three, the spiritual world controls the natural world. Which means that based on these three realities and the first point I just made, anyone who has understanding of spiritual things will have an advantage. Why? Because he will operate from a higher order. Now listen, the reason why occults, the reason why witches, the reason why people from the marine kingdom are so strong and powerful is because they have a functional knowledge that gives them an advantage over people who operate from the earth realm. Now, have you ever wondered how an 11-year-old witch can cause so much havoc to a family? Meanwhile, this witch has never gone to school. Now, it should bring your attention to something. There is a knowledge that she has which goes beyond the knowledge that comes through a classroom. And that's what we are trying to make you understand. Because, you know, if you don't have spiritual intelligence, one who has one can dominate your life. I'm teaching good here. So number one, life is spiritual. Number two, evil is not something. Evil is someone. Evil is not something. evil is someone. Now, if we don't understand the Christian life the way I just said it, we'll make a lot of mistakes. You gotta be careful. Before there was anything like evil, Adam was perfectly living in the garden. Everything was going down very well until the serpent appeared. Please follow me carefully. Until the serpent appeared, there was nothing like evil. It was after the encounter with the serpent, the fall came. Then from the fall, evil began to abound. Why? Because the devil was involved. Can you imagine that? Evil even comes from devil. So when you add D to evil, that's why you have devil. So it is in the devil we find evil. So when you find anything evil going on, you must know a devil is involved. Please, I'm teaching good here. So evil is not something, it is someone. The Bible says in 1 John 5 that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. You know, when you read the what people normally call the Lord's Prayer, he says deliver us from evil. If you check the NKJV, he says deliver us from the evil one. There can be no evil until there's an evil one. And hear me carefully. You see, evil has a source, and the source of evil is the devil. And the devil has tactics to cook evil. The first tactics of the devil to cook evil is, number one, accusation. Now, I'm giving you these keys because it will happen to your life whether you like it or not. Number one, accusation. In the book of Revelation 12, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. So the devil uses accusation as a tactic for evil. In fact, it is out of accusation people feel guilty. And out of guilt, people commit suicide. And that's evil. So the first tactic of the devil is evil. Sorry, is accusation. Number two is deception. Satan uses deception to spread evil. He will make sure that he will misinterpret the word of God so you will live with a reality that is outside God. Please pay attention to this. So, he came to Eve and said, "Has the Lord God said that you should not eat from the tree?" That question was asked so that Eve can be perfectly confused. So the devil will misinterpret the word of God so that you will live in deception. Because when you live in deception, you will never walk in the truth. And hear me carefully. Anytime you walk outside of truth, you become a prey. I'm teaching good here. Please pay attention. If you find anyone sleeping, tap the person. Tell the person, we don't sleep here. So he uses deception in the book of John chapter 8 verse 44. The Bible tells us he is a liar from the beginning. His native language is lies. The devil can tell you you have cancer when you don't. The devil can tell you you would never give birth for you to believe it. Because he knows that what the heart believes becomes an experience. So he will use deception against your life. I'm teaching good here. The third thing as a tactic Satan uses is hindrance. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, Apostle Paul said he longed to come to the people, but Satan. He says, "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again and again. But Satan hindered us." So listen, Satan can block your womb. He can hinder you from having your promotion. He can hinder the flow of your finances. He can make sure that what God has planned for your life will never come to pass. So listen, Satan cannot thwart the purpose of God, but he can delay and hinder it. This morning, anything that has hindered your life is giving way for your explosion in the name of Jesus. So he uses hindrance. Listen to me. Don't just sit down and say, I'm in Christ, everything is finished. Listen to me. The finished work doesn't mean everything is finished. Remember, even when Jesus said it is finished, at that time he had not even gone yet to offer his blood for eternal redemption. So don't be confused about this matter. Satan can still hinder a believer who is filled with the Holy Ghost. Apostle Paul, the man of prayer, the man of fasting, was hindered. I'm teaching with you. And the last thing Satan uses as a tactic to spread evil is temptation. Temptation is an enticement to do evil. Temptation is the enticement to do evil. Satan will present an evil as something that should be desirable. Please follow what I'm teaching you. He will make adultery look desirable without telling you or informing you about the evil in it. So you will soon begin to desire that which is evil, and that is a source of temptation. So hear me, anytime you are tempted, it is Satan trying to entice you to go outside of God's will. And for your information, sin is like poison with icing that has covered it. It may taste sweet, but it will bring death. I'm teaching with you. So a lot of times, many believers have not discerned temptation as Satan being behind it. I'm teaching with you. He'll make it feel as though you can't wait until you're married. Someone just watch me like that. You know, sometimes you have a feeling that I know for the next 50 years I'm not married anytime soon. And my body mechanism, the way God did it, I can't wait. It's a deception, no? I'm telling you. He can make a married man sit down and say, hey, so I'll be with this woman for the next 40 years. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. You can ask every married man sitting beside you. I'm teaching good. And convince you that your wife is not okay. Have you seen that her breast has become like Katale? Have you realized that she's no longer your match? The bottles you married has changed. I'm teaching good here. And he will supernaturally project your former girlfriend. And she was staying in Northern region. Supernaturally, she'll come and stay around your neighborhood. It's a supernatural transfer. Please, I'm teaching you though. Satan can entice you. There's a lot to talk about. Let me just move on quickly. Now, so we said that the first tactic Satan uses to spread evil is what? Accusation. Listen, anytime you are feeling condemned, there's something wrong. You are under attack. A sin you may have committed last year or last 2 years, Satan can re-echo it back to you. It may be an abortion or something you did, and Satan will bring it back and say, have you seen you killed an innocent child? God has not accepted it. Do you know that hell is waiting for you? Kill yourself. The feeling of guilt and shame, that thing can be very dangerous. A lot of time people don't know this. Satan can let you think God has not forgiven you about the sin that you already dealt with God. And it's one of his tactics. People are not going to church anymore because they are condemned. The second thing he uses is deception. He will lie to you. The third is hindrance. And the fourth is what? Temptation. Number three. Are you ready for it? Everyone is part of an ongoing war. If you understood these three things, I think we are good to go. Everyone is part of an ongoing spiritual battle. Listen, you don't need to be aware of it. You are in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 from the verse 10 to 18. It gives us a reality about spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Anyone who is enrolled into the military, the first thing you are trained for is strength. Because without strength, you cannot fight any battle. And it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. So you are first trained for energy, vitality, and strength before you are put on a uniform and given a weapon. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deceptions of the devil. Look at the next verse. He says, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. He's telling you that all the things happening in relationships among humans, look beyond a human being. Look beyond your husband. Look beyond your wife. Look beyond your colleague in the office. Have you noticed that sometimes the day you become spiritual is the day your colleague or your boss can anger you? At that time, it may be Satan manipulating things through that person without you knowing. I'm teaching good here. So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which means human beings are not our enemies. I repeat, what? Human beings are not our enemies. He says, but against principalities. Have you ever seen a principality before? No. Which means our battle is invisible. Now, can you imagine? This is unfair. Number one, I have a human body. Number two, I can see in the spirit. And I'm fighting an enemy that is stronger than me, and I can't see him. This is a serious matter. Can you imagine going to a battle? You are fighting an enemy you can't see. I watched one movie the last time. They went into a camp to destroy an invisible enemy. And they had to design a machine that became like a lens through which they can be able to see the enemies and use a special kind of laser gun to kill them. And it gave me an intelligence that, listen, God has also designed a machine to help us to see in the spirit. That machine is the word of God and the Holy Ghost. Through the word of God and the Holy Ghost, we are able to see in the spirit and identify who our true enemies are. So he says, against powers. Now, the Living Translation, Living Bible, makes it very beautiful. He says, for our battle is not against human beings, but against persons without bodies. Persons without bodies, which means they are personalities, but they don't have a body. You know, have you ever been there and a voice told you, you heard yourself thinking, saying to yourself, I'm a failure. Nobody was in the room. It just came to you as a thought that I'm a failure. You may think you are thinking it, but hear me, an enemy is thinking through you. There are spirits who do not have bodies we are fighting with. So listen to me. About 90% of bad thoughts you have are demon inspired. This is something you need to understand. Persons without bodies. Now I'll give you an example. Please come. Please come. Now, this, stand here. You can see me, right? Assume this man is invisible. And he can see me. Okay? And I tell him, go and take this man's iPad. Go and take it. Okay. Go and give it back to him. Please follow this thing. This same person. Now I tell you, go and kill him. I realized that you were a very wicked man. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. You're not a Christian. Come. Please come. He's not a Christian. In fact, don't get up again. If I tell this man to go and kill him, because he's a Christian, something in him will say that no, I can't do it. But if I keep telling, go and kill him, the voice will get stronger. If the voice gets stronger, what do you think he can do when he's being pressured? What's the best he can do? Can someone help me? No, can someone help me? Feel free. The answer is simple. The way you are thinking, I can see your head. Tell me. Rebuke! Clap for him, sir. So, if I'm forcing him to do something against the word of God, and he can see me, he can tell me, get behind me. I won't do it. But the challenge is that, the way he could see me for me to communicate, the spirits you are dealing with, we can't see them, but they are talking. So this is a spirit being that doesn't have a body, let's assume. And he's telling this man to go and kill him. He can't see this being, but he's hearing it in his thoughts. Do you know a voice can push you to go and drink alcohol? A voice can push you to masturbate? A voice can push you to commit immorality? A voice can push you to do certain things that you know God's word doesn't support. It's because many Christians don't have intelligence to know that there is a spirit communicating. There is a person without a body. So the Bible says, casting down imagination, which means the whole warfare is in the mind. If you can win in your mind, you can win on the field. He says, though we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not man-made, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought. Now look, the first one is imagination. The second is the knowledge of God. The third is thoughts. Saying the same thing, telling us that this battle is a battle of images which form imaginations. It's against the knowledge of God and it's against thoughts. Can I shock you? What you don't think about does not have power over you. You are addicted to pornography because it became your imagination. You know why Satan lures people to pictures and audios? Because when pictures and audios travels into your soul, it enslaves you. Hear me carefully. Satan operates with light and sound. Satan operates with light and sound. That is why he has a lot of apostles in music. Listen, what we are, listen, there are apostles of Satan, they are evangelists of Satan. Most of the songs, the things you are seeing on social media is war, but you don't know. Satan knows you will not watch pornography because you are disciplined. So he'll bring a half-naked lady so you can compromise in your mind. I'm teaching good here. So this war, you need to understand, is operating with light and sound. Light is your sight. Sound is the wave that travels through your ears. So hear me carefully. What you see and what you hear controls your entire life. So listen to me. Your ears and your eyes are gates into your soul. And your soul is a central processing unit controlling the activities of your body. So hear me, if your soul is not in alignment with God, Satan can take that soul and use your body to do his will. I'm teaching with you. If Satan wants to destroy your prayer life, you trap it in your soul. Which is why your soul is a very crucial part of your system, because your soul is a makeup of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Before you sin, you compromise in that area. Satan will bring a wild thought to your mind. You didn't deal with the thought. Then soon, the thought enters your emotion and you begin to feel it. How it will feel when you do it. And because you didn't deal with the feeling, it entered into your will and strengthened your will to do that evil. And the time when it was due, because your mind was not disciplined and your emotions could not handle it and your will was strengthened, you would do it. That is what the Bible says in Romans 12:2. He says that, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Which means if your mind is not renewed, you'll be a puppet in the hands of the devil. You'll control your life. Hear me carefully. Your spirit man was recreated. It became born again. Your soul was not recreated. It is renovated. That's why David said he restores my soul. He didn't say he creates my soul. So the part of you that was born again was your spirit. Your soul must be restored, because your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, the past feelings you had when you were a child, all these things you did not deal with the word of God and prayer, are still stuck in your soulish realm. And if you don't deal with it, your spirit will still be weak. I'm teaching somebody here. So hear me carefully. I don't know how we even got here, but hear me carefully. Every man is tri-dimensional. Which means that every man is tripartite. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Pay attention to me. If you are feeling sleepy, you rise up on your feet and stand on the back for 5 minutes and sit down, because what we are dealing with is a serious matter here. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in your body, in a body. So listen to me. You are not your soul. You are not your body. You are your spirit. I'm teaching good here. Your spirit has three compartments. Number one, your intuition or your spiritual knowledge. Number two is your worship, the part of you that becomes intimate with God. And number three, your conscience. Oh, I'm teaching good here. So your spirit man has three compartments. Your intuition. Have you ever thought of someone and the person appeared there? You were just thinking of your brother and he came there. How did you know? You didn't learn it from school. It was imparted. We call that intuition. How are you able to know that someone is lying when no one told you he's lying? It's called intuition. How do you know that this person will be a bad friend? Intuition. How did you buy some food? You didn't sense like eating it. You had an intuitive knowledge in your spirit. Most of you have not developed that area of your life. And then the worship, the part of you that you communicate with God, and your conscience, the part of you that either justifies or condemns you. You do something that is bad, the part that convicts you that what you did is bad, is called your conscience. Your soul has three compartments also. Your mind, the part of you you use for reasoning and thinking. Your will, the part of you for making decisions. And your emotions, the part of you that feels. Now look at the intricate personality of man. God made you very intricate with a spirit, soul, and body. And your body is the seat of the five senses. Your sight, your hearing, your smell. What again? Your taste. That's the seat of your five senses. So hear me carefully. The strongest part of your entire being is your spirit. And for your information, every part of your tripartite being can be trained. Most of you have trained your body, but you have not trained your soul. Most have trained their soul, but they've not trained their spirit. Yeah, be careful. If you train your body, it means you are going to the gym. You are feeding the body well. But I'm telling you, you can be a very stout man and a 4-year-old witch will stop you. How many years? 4 years. You know what she do? She do plenty. She look at you and call you. Oh, cuckoo. Oh, cuckoo. And your soul will appear. And you blow air on you. We are 4 years. Oh, cuckoo. 4 years. Meanwhile, you look like a bouncer. When you appear, all eyes on you. Who is she? I'm teaching you. You see how difficult all night is? Because listen, every training is hard. The first 3 days you went to the gym, how did you feel? You had to take para. Because you felt body pains, but you are looking for something. We call it stature. So you still go to the gym, irrespective of the pain. Have you noticed? It is the same consistency in the gym that kills the pain. Likewise, the same things you are doing in God, in spiritual exercise, that discomfort you feel is the same exercise that makes you relieved. So fasting is hard.
prayer.
When I hear someone say that prayer is the easiest thing you can do, I just look at the person and say, prayer is not something that should be difficult. Prayer is all about fellowship with the Lord. Hey. Do you understand this thing? Prayer is hard. You hear me carefully. It is easy because it is hard. Listen to me carefully. So most people have not trained themselves because, you know why? Because they don't have spiritual intelligence. That's what I'm teaching. Is someone catching something here? So quickly, let me give you some few notes to put down before we go. What is spiritual intelligence? Spiritual intelligence is the art of thinking like God. It is the art of thinking like God. Quickly, let's move on. Number two, spiritual intelligence is a kind of knowledge divinely received and perceived, which enables a man to act differently in a situation. It is a kind of knowledge divinely received and perceived, which makes a man act differently in a situation. Someone will hear bad news. In fact, two people will hear bad news. One will start crying. One will start thanking God. What's the difference? Spiritual intelligence. I'm teaching with you. Number three, spiritual intelligence is an impartation of a supernatural intuition that makes one conscious of spiritual activity. I repeat myself again. It is an impartation of supernatural intuition that makes one conscious of spiritual activity. My goodness. It is an impartation of supernatural intuition that makes one conscious of spiritual activity. Number three or number four, it is the supernatural ability to access the tools of the spiritual realm and to function in them accurately. It is the spiritual ability or the supernatural ability to access the tools of the spiritual realm and function in them accurately. I'm teaching good, yeah? Are you getting this thing at all? So it's a supernatural ability to access tools of the supernatural realm and function in them accurately. So hear me, spiritual knowledge is how to access spiritual tools, spiritual weapons, and function in them accurately. An example is a juju man. You go to a juju man to ask for a child. You all know that the only human way of having a child is through sex. But a juju man will give some substance and some directions to the person to go and do, and in 3 months the person gets pregnant. Can I ask you a question? What did he access that made it happen? Hear me carefully. There are advantages in the spirit when you have spiritual knowledge. Can I ask you a question? What are some of the advantages of physical or natural intelligence. Someone should help me. Get me a microphone. Yes, this one. This one. No, you can pass here. Advantages a person will have who has natural intelligence. Someone should give me some. Yes.
They see opportunities that regular people don't see.
Come again?
They see opportunities.
They see opportunities. Okay, thank you very much. Now, let me help you. One of them is favor and acceptance. Have you noticed when someone is a shark, all his friends open the door for him? They just want to hang around him. In fact, all the girls will come. And can you please teach me be complex? You become a TA at the age of 50. There is a favor you have when you are when your IQ is very sharp. Can I have another one, please? Another advantage of physical intelligence. Skills. Powerful. Next. Yeah, it's the same. Can I have just one more before I continue? An advantage you have when you are intelligent. They easily get what? Scholarships. That's very powerful. Do you know the next thing? They are easily promoted. So, have you seen that? There is an advantage for natural intelligence. Likewise, there's an advantage for spiritual intelligence. Which means you will not function with your co-equals the same way if you have spiritual intelligence. I'm teaching you here. So, how does spiritual knowledge function? How does it function? Number one, it functions through skills and craftsmanship. That's the basic. It functions through skills and craftsmanship. When you read the book of Exodus, the Bible says there's one man called Bezalel who was filled with the Spirit of God, and he had intelligence in all manner of craftsmanship. He was able to mold things with gold. Nobody gave him that knowledge, but the infilling of the Holy Ghost gave him a supernatural intelligence that made him skillful. So spiritual knowledge functions as skill, which means that God can give you a supernatural intelligence for you to know how to be skillful in an area of your advantage. Which means that if you are a mason, he can make you skillful to create things other masons cannot do. If you are a decorator, there'll be something about your decorations that is not normal. One man we celebrate a lot, Don Sino Oyikan. He gets music every day. So amongst his contemporaries, he stands out. And the words of his music, you must know that a spirit is involved. I'm teaching you there. So spiritual intelligence functions as skills and craftsmanship. Listen, you can be skillful in where you operate to. You don't understand what I'm saying. Number two, it functions as an understanding of how the spirit realm operates. Spiritual knowledge functions as an understanding of how the spirit realm operates. Which means it functions as an ability to discern the atmosphere you are in. The atmosphere you are in. You know what is happening in your environment without anybody telling you. You see, most people don't have this intelligence. Some few months ago, we opened our back door at home, and a cat entered through the kitchen and entered our hall, and the cat vomited at where the dining table was, and the cat left. Now, is it normal for a cat to defecate or vomit in the room of someone. No, please. You know, cats don't do that. Even when they want to poo-poo, they can't do that. But this cat came to vomit exactly where my children have been playing. And then it left. And surprisingly, I don't know how God led me. I came to see it first. And when I came and I saw it, I saw the cat vomiting and I sacked the cat. Immediately, I told them to clean it. I didn't take it lightly. I brought communion wine, poured it over the place, called all the pastors I live with in the house, my wife, we surrounded. We prayed for 10 minutes. Cleanse the house of any demonic deposit before we moved on. Because you don't have spiritual intelligence, you only mop it and go away. You see, this thing I'm teaching you, don't take it for granted. I woke up at 4 a.m. when we were doing a building project to go and wee-wee. The moment I opened the pot, I just had an intuitive knowledge that something is going on the land. So I should drive from Bawe to this place. I'm like, what is going on here? It's not normal. So I just sat in the car and drove without understanding where I was coming. And I got here. The moment I got here, the caretaker said, "Pastor, what do you do for here?" He was not expecting me here. Why? At 1 a.m., a group of people came to the place. And they said, "I sent them." And he asked them, "What is the name of the pastor?" They couldn't mention my name. So he didn't open the gate for them. And they were outside doing some things on the outside till around that time. The moment they left, that's when I came. So immediately I poured oil, cleansed the place, spent 2 hours praying the spirit. When I was done, I took the car and I went away. If I didn't have that spiritual intuition, they would have deposited something. There are some people, there are shops, they've used spiritual padlock to close it. So the shop is open physically, but spiritually there's a padlock. You would need spiritual knowledge. I'm teaching good here. Is someone getting something at all? You know, my sister-in-law, Linda, had a wedding some few months ago. They had an engagement in her house. And all kinds of people, all kinds of friends, family members, everybody came, and people used the washrooms, people used the bedrooms, people used everywhere, and they left. When everybody left, at dawn, I just woke up without understanding why I woke up. That is not the time I woke up. When I woke up, the bulb in the corridor area was blinking. It has never done that before. Only after the engagement. You see, if you don't have spiritual intelligence, you will think it's bulb. You will think it's ECG. But the Spirit of God is telling you there is an evil presence that was deposited and you need to do something about it. Immediately I woke up, I understood the whole system. The Holy Ghost said, someone with the wrong spirit entered and deposited something in your toilet. So I started praying the Holy Ghost, close to 3 hours. I prayed and the Holy Ghost would tell me, get a bottle of water, bless it. Anoint this gate, this side. Go to the hall, anoint this one, anoint the door, anoint this area, the carpet, this side, anoint it. Go to the toilet, pour it inside. As though someone is standing beside me, of course, someone was standing beside me. And I kept doing it. I called all of them and they all helped me and then we finished it. When we were done, we didn't know how the light stopped, but everything stopped. We called that spiritual intelligence. Some of you went to a funeral. You came back, your spirit man was discomforted. You didn't understand why you were feeling that way and you took it normal. See, If you don't have spiritual knowledge, you are in trouble. Am I helping someone? You see, as I'm talking, and the Holy Ghost is reminding you of things that he gave you intelligence in so many areas, and you took it for granted. You took it for granted. And hear me, spiritual things, one thing it hates is delay. Oh my goodness. Can I help someone? You had a dream, a witch appeared to you and said, ha, 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 ha. And a witch injected you and said, I have given you HIV. Ha, 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 ha. And the witch went and you woke up in the morning. Please, how can you have such a dream and wait for 5 months? Are you okay? Listen, I gave an example here. Please pay attention. If I go to town to go and buy Wache 5 cities, Talia 2 cities, salad 1 city, 1 wele, no egg, no meat, because the economy is hard. And I gave, it was supposed to cost 15 cities, right? And I gave him 20 cities. How much is he supposed to give me? And he gave me 1 city instead of 5 cities. Please pay attention. And on my way going, I just realized that she's supposed to add 4 cities. When I go there immediately, will she give me the change? Will she give me the change? If I went home and it was 5 days, 10 days, 15 days, and I remembered and I go there, will she give me the change? Why? Delay. Likewise, in the spirit, when you have a dream, God is telling you that thing is about to happen, or it has happened, or it is happening. So if you don't act quickly on dreams, hear me carefully, most of you, it is the delay that is causing all the problems you are facing today. But tonight and this morning, God will show us mercy. I said God will show us mercy. Listen to me. Any demonic dream you had that you didn't have spiritual intelligence, which is fighting your life, by the supernatural hand of God, I command it to dissolve right now in the name of Jesus. I command your liberty right now in the name of Jesus. Spiritual intelligence. Can I shock you here? This one, it goes to the man. You may not like it, but you need it. If you have spiritual intelligence, it's not every woman we sleep with. In fact, put it down. Put the keyboard down. And here, it's not every woman we sleep with. See, this thing, I wish I could kneel down and tell you. Number one, listen to me carefully. You don't sleep with a woman many men have slept with. Number two, you don't sleep with a woman who is in a menses. Number three, you don't sleep with a married woman. Number four, you don't sleep with a woman who is pregnant and you are not the one responsible. And number five, hear me, you don't sleep with a prostitute. These 5 things I just mentioned. These 5 things I just mentioned can be the reason why it will take you 25 years to break through. Hear me. No matter how you are feeling for sex, I beg you, don't go to circle. No, I'm teaching you something serious. What I'm saying is a serious matter. People don't have that intelligence. Listen, sex is energy. That is why your sperm is actually blood. So when you release a sperm, you have released energy. And if your sperm is in the kingdom of Satan, you are in trouble. Have you realized the Bible says a whore, which is a prostitute, will reduce you into a piece of bread? There is an energy you lose that becomes a force why you will fail in life. People don't understand what I'm saying. A lot of spiritual problems men are going through is because they had sex with the wrong person 13 years ago and they are forgotten. They are forgotten. The reason why sex is so strong is because If a lady is coming from a fetish background, influenced by a marine spirit, or a lady is coming from a highly demonic background and a family is cursed, and you sleep with a lady, what happens is that because you are not married, there is no covering around you, because the angels only cover those who are married. So because you don't have a covering, and the Bible says the two shall be made one, what happens is that all the curses in the girl's family, you partake of it. It's a Bluetooth connection. This thing that you are laughing at, it's not funny. I am telling you. So that when I see young ladies, they'll just sleep with a man, they'll give him money. You may think you have chopped the man's 5,000. He has chopped your life. He gave you 5,000, but what he got from you is more than 5,000 Ghana cedis. He got your destiny. He got your future. You exchange. Listen, hey, can I shock you? Sex is exchange. Write it down. Sex is exchange. Anytime you have sex, you have exchanged something. Something from you has gone to someone, and something from someone has entered you. I'm giving you spiritual intelligence so that those things that you think you can't control, when you control yourself, it's for your own good. I'm telling you. There is a man of God who went to US and made a mistake. He slept with one lady because his wife was not there. He said when he was on top of the lady, he saw something that looked like a dove leave him, and he saw it going. Since that time, his ministry has never been the same again. I told myself, hey, I have done 40 days on water 3 times. Prayed 24 hours, 16 hours, 18 hours, 12 hours, 10 hours. All this energy I've built. When I see a fianga girl with a buttocks looking at me like this, minya panya kwa mbe woman ma pino. You don't understand what I'm saying. Hear me carefully. When you see, oh my goodness. Do you know fire extinguisher? You know fire extinguisher? What does it do? It do what it do. It quenches fire. Some women in your life can be fire extinguishers. Much more destiny extinguishers. Hey, this thing I'm talking about is a serious matter. So, see, I know my calling. See, if you have a picture of your future, you won't mess up now. Most of you are messing up because you don't have a picture of your future. You know, there's one journalist whose half-naked or full-naked video went out, and then she was kind of embarrassed. You know what she said in her apology letter? She said she did not know that 5 years ago she was going to become a star today. Most of you spiritually, you didn't know that you are the one who's going to hold the whole church as a financial pillar. That's why you messed up 10 years ago. And Satan took that destiny from you on the bed of immorality. Ignorance. See, I'm giving you spiritual knowledge. Because if you don't have this, some of you will never manifest. Some of you never see all the prophecies they gave you. It will never come to pass. You build conviction around you. When I'm talking to a lady and he says, I miss you, that's the end of the friendship. You can't miss me. You can't miss me. How can you miss me? He said, man of God, it's been a long time. I said, yes. It's been a long time. We thank God for your life. But you can't miss me. How can you miss me? No. There's some conversations you can't have with me. That'll be the end. I'll block you. Even if you're a church member. If you like, don't come to the church again. I'm telling you the truth. The strict boundary around me, you can't mess up. Every conversation that is odd, my wife is aware. Because I have to protect myself. So most of you, because you don't believe in your future, that's why you are taking things for granted. I went to pray for a man at Accra. Okay? When I was going, he said he would take me to a place. It's called Ashawo Lane. So we use a certain corner. My goodness. See, in Accra, they have different chambers of Ashawo rooms. I never knew it was in Ghana. I never knew. So sometimes you need adventure. But if you don't... if you are not strong, don't go there. When we were passing, my heart was beating. It's a woman, though. She doesn't have a weapon, but I'm afraid. I was just watching, like, the woman was watching me. Good morning. I said, hey! The good morning, I guess, demonic anointing, shame. Achuchum. I'm teaching good, though. So please hear me. Be very careful. Because listen, all men are not the same. All women are not the same. There's one woman you may sleep with. That's the end of your life. You may say it's a mistake, but in the spirit, there are no mistakes. People may have done it 100 times and escaped. You do it once and achieve. We call it spiritual intelligence. Listen to me. If you had a demonic dream, you cannot be eating. When I fell sick, I went to the hospital. They did 22 tests. They couldn't find anything. And I went into prayer. That same evening, I had a dream. In the dream, my house, everywhere was dark. And when I saw that darkness, I decided to go to the hall. And when I lifted my hands in the hall, I don't know, but there was a light that appeared in my hand. And when the light appeared, I saw two cats in the room who were about to attack me until the light fell on them. And they all escaped. The next day, I had a dream that my house gate was open and everybody passing was watching the house. You see, these are intelligence. Anytime you have a dream, you are swimming in dirty water. Anytime you have a dream, you are naked. Anytime you have a dream, you are getting married, wedding. And it was just a dream. It was just a dream. Listen to me. There is nothing like it was just a dream. This brings me to the third way spiritual intelligence functions. It functions as dreams, visions, and revelations. Hear me carefully. Long before there was a Bible, God was speaking to people. How? Through dreams. So hear me, the Bible is not the only means by which God speaks to us. And some of you, because you don't read your Bible, God has to resort to the old method. Truth be told, the Bible tells you the general will of God. But there's a specific thing you are battling with. You can't find it in the Bible. The lady you marry, her name is not in the Bible. Where you work, if you have two jobs and you have to choose one, it's not in the Bible. So how do you find it? This is where revelations comes in. You had a dream, you saw coffins. You had a dream, you saw your dead relatives in a dream. You have seen it once, twice, three times, and you are still eating. So, listen to me. A lot of problems that is happening to many people, they are crying on God. They are not supposed to be crying on God. God showed you everything happening in your life currently. He showed you. There are about 10 dreams. Never joke with it when you have it. Never joke. You see, some years ago, my understanding of new creation realities almost destroyed my ministry. And hear me carefully. I took so many things for granted. In fact, it got to a time I stopped prophesying for 2 years because I said it's not necessary. What matters is the new creation reality. It almost damaged my ministry. Hear me carefully. Do you know that Israel came out of captivity in Egypt? Right? When they came out, they went through the Red Sea. They appeared in the wilderness. Do you know that on their journey to the promised land, they still kept fighting battles? Which means that who told you that once you are in Christ, there's no spiritual battle? Israel fought in Rephidim. They fought the Amalekites. They fought the Philistines. They fought the Assyrians. Which means that the journey of the Christian life is constant battle. The finished work is supposed to arm you and not supposed to rest you. So the finished work are supposed to be used as weapons. The blood of Jesus, finished work, you are supposed to use it in battle. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. The name of Jesus is a finished work, but we use it. Prayer is a weapon that we use. And when it comes to prayer, if you are here listening to me and you don't like praying, you're in trouble. You hear me? Anytime you find it very hard to pray and it becomes difficult to pray, it's a sign you are under attack. Because the first area Satan attacks before he sends other attacks is your prayer life. That is the first area he attacks. If he attacks your prayer life, he has attacked your entire Christian experience. If he stops you from praying, he can stop every other thing from functioning in your life. I'm teaching good here. Today I've spent the whole day in prayer. I've just been in my bedroom. I didn't even go to the prayer room. I was just there studying, reading, praying the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you may not even have a topic, but pray. Am I helping someone here at all? Listen, in the Bible, men function with spiritual knowledge. An example was Moses. How did Moses write Genesis to Deuteronomy? Can I ask you? How did he write it? Because when God was creating the world, Moses was not there. In fact, Moses wrote about creation when he was not in creation. To the extent that in Deuteronomy, he wrote about his death when he was alive. Because it is in Deuteronomy that we saw the death of Moses. He recorded his own death by inspiration, coming from spiritual knowledge. So, what inspired Moses to be able to write Genesis when he was not there is what we call spiritual knowledge. How did Noah build an ark that could take over 500 cars? It can take 2 trains. How did he get the dimension? How did he put it together? In fact, when Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and who? Japheth. Who saw his nakedness? Bible students. Ham saw his nakedness when Noah was asleep, when he got drunk and fell asleep. When he woke up, nobody told him that someone beheld his nakedness, but he knew Ham beheld his nakedness and he cursed him. How did he know it? Spiritual intelligence. There was a time a king and his army was fighting Israel, and the battle became very fierce, and the king realized he was losing. Do you know what he did? He took his only son that is supposed to inherit him, and he killed him and smashed him in the wall instantly. Immediately, the battle turned around. And Israel began to lose, and Israel fled. What made the guy do what he did? It's called spiritual intelligence. He understood that sacrifice can turn things around. Listen, there are sometimes you can go through all kinds of battles. You are close to a miracle, then the thing goes off. Near success syndrome, the thing comes off. You are about to receive a big contract. Before you realize that they say come for the contract. When you went, they said the man has traveled to Cameroon. When it happens that way, one of your solutions is sacrifice. Sacrifice turned the story upside down. It is called spiritual intelligence. I mean, who would know this in the natural realm? That I have to sacrifice something. We call it spiritual intelligence. It takes spiritual intelligence to give an offering when you don't have an offering. It takes spiritual intelligence to scream and shout in joy when you are going through problems. It's spiritual intelligence. Am I helping someone here? So in the Bible, it is filled with spiritual intelligence. In fact, Jesus knew the heart of people. He knew the heart of Pharisees. How? Spiritual intelligence. Am I helping you here? God was about to kill our Moses. He was about to kill him. It was Zipporah that went to circumcise his son and God spared Moses. How did she know it? Intelligence. Which means that spiritual intelligence can save people from death. There were people who died in your family. They did not need to die. They didn't need to die. I'm teaching good here. Now, let me close. How do I access spiritual intelligence? Can I shock you? Number one, prayer and the study of the word. Woo! Hear me carefully. The word of God feeds your soul. Prayer educates your spirit. I repeat, the word of God educates your soul. Prayer educates your spirit. That's why prayer is called the school of prayer. Because when you pray, there is a knowledge you receive that you don't find in any book. At a point in a building project we did, we were stuck. There was no fun coming from anywhere. And I just went into a 3-hour prayer, just speaking in tongues. I said, God, there must be something. When I finished with the prayer, the Holy Ghost spoke and said, you wrote your book, 2 books on prayer, in when you went for your first 40 days. I said, yes, Lord. He says, go and finish the book quickly and publish it. I'll give you money. What is that called? Spiritual intelligence. I finished the book in 2 months and we launched it. It was out of the proceeds that we bought all the iron rods for the flow. But I would have been there crying and saying, Lord, where are you? Lord, what is going on in my life? Are you faithful? God was waiting to give me intelligence. There are some of you, you think that things will happen from heaven like manna. It does not always happen like this. There are some miracles that does not always come in money. That's what God taught me. Some miracles will come by ideas. So it's not every time you pray for money. God, give me money. God, give me money. God, give me money. No, no, no. It does not always operate that way. It can come through idea, and that idea will bring the money. And that idea can come as spiritual intelligence. The man we call Zoom Lion started having vision of seeing baller, 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 baller. Every dream he had, he was seeing baller. He was collecting baller. If you don't have spiritual intelligence, you will think it's a demonic attack. And you'll be fasting against your destiny. And today, Zoom Lion is a blessed man collecting baller. Listen, some of you were praying for a miracle. God has shown you 3 dreams. 3 dreams. And in those 3 dreams, God was showing you your future. And you took it for granted. Am I helping someone here? Listen to me. You have to pray. I'm sorry for you. If you don't pray, God can't help you. It is only in prayer that we see God move. Without prayer, God won't move. Prayer is a system God sets in place to be actively functional in the believer's life. If you don't pray, there are some things you will never see in your life. Hear me carefully. Every Christian must have an altar he has specially built to maintain his spiritual energy. Because hear me carefully, life operates in energy. I'm sure they told you that the Bible says that at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on earth. I've seen a pastor who told a demon to come out, and the demon kicked his balls. That's how the service ended. But the Bible says at the name Jesus, every knee should bow. So you can't just read that scripture and go and say, out, out. You may not know the demon you are dealing with. Hear me carefully. Angels have rankings. So when one third of the angels left with Lucifer, so if that angel that left Lucifer has more capacity than an angel in heaven, he still has that capacity. That is how come an answer was coming to Daniel and a demon arrested an angel. It took a higher angel called Michael to release him. So some of you have been praying and the prayer is delaying. It's not because God is not powerful. Your answer was sent, but your angel was tied. So it will take consistency. Daniel prayed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 21 days until there was a release. So listen to me. These are spiritual intelligence. Some of you have prayed several times, but you have not praised. There's a special angel in heaven who, when one man went to heaven, the angel was so less busy, and he asked him, "What are you doing?" He says, "We are angels God assigned to hand over miracles for believers who only apply the miracle, who only apply the principle of thanksgiving." So many are praying, few are thanking God. So they don't have much work to do. That is why believers, see, some of you, the way you are ungrateful, God has seen your ungratefulness and he realizes that he can't bless you. He can't bless you. You are so ungrateful. Every day, nothing's working. We are siding, but you have been eating 3 times a day. We are siding. Be beyond Kosovo, but you bought a shoe last week. You see, too many Christians are ungrateful. There are sometimes I come to church, plenty of people didn't come. When I finish, I say, "Thank God, Father, thank you that many didn't come, but some showed up. I want to thank you and bless you. You are too faithful." You go to market, you sell. You were expecting 3,000 sales and 1,000 sales comes. Thank God. Oh my goodness. Hey. So many Christians, listen, according to Christian arithmetic, out of 10 Christians, only one is grateful. How do I know? Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one came to say thank you. And Jesus asked, "Where are the other 9? Which means Jesus was interested in the thanksgiving of the other 9. And that's what many Christians don't understand. Maybe you'll be thinking that these lepers were ungrateful. You are more than a leper. He saved you. That's also a spiritual cleansing from spiritual leprosy. You have never thanked him for salvation. Because you think Christianity is all about material things. Christianity is all about buying cars. Christianity is all about having a job. Christianity is all about having marriage. It's all about having children. Hear me carefully. In this life, you will never be fully satisfied. You hear what I said? In this life, you will never be satisfied. If you are praying to God for a miracle of a car and the car comes, you will need another miracle to fuel it. So now, that same car, you were happy. After 1 month, you start saying that, to me, fuel, no. You already be a crime, me, why? And God will supply the fuel. And now the car engine will have a problem. And now you start getting ungrateful that, in car can cram a toy, and then an engine, and then this, and then an exhaust pipe. Now you start getting ungrateful. The same person who was trusting God for a car. Now, are you seeing the process? Now you are always depending on God for a miracle. God knows the human heart. That when God blesses you with single room, after 2 years, you are not okay with single room. You want 2 bedroom. After 2 bedroom, you want 3. After 3, you want your own house. So this is your heart. It will always look for things. So don't wait to be established. Thank him first. What I'm giving you is spiritual knowledge. Because listen, it's not every time that we always do binding and loosing. Because even in spiritual warfare, there are principles. Can I shock you? Hear me. There are times in spiritual warfare. For example, you have a spiritual wife, a spiritual husband. Every morning, he has been sleeping with you. You have fasted, you have prayed, you have done binding and loosing. The thing is still coming. Can I shock you? There are times you need to understand that you have to deal with things in the courtroom, not in the war room. So when you have tried warfare and it's not working, take the battle from the field and take it to the courtroom. Because that means there's a legality working. There's a legal issue going on Satan is using. Maybe 100 years ago, your great-great-great-grandfather sold all the children in the family and said the spirit should marry all of them. That's a legality. So people are on the battlefield with issues that should be in the courtroom. Bleeding the blood. And see, when you win in the courtroom, you win on the battlefield. I'm teaching good. Anything that has held your family bound, because you are here tonight, there is a release over your life. I said there is a release over your life. In the name of Jesus, prayer and fasting. You will pray and fast. You will pray. You will fast. You will pray. You will fast. The more you are praying, the more you are enlarging spiritually. The more your energy is increasing as a child of God. You have to study the word of God because, listen, the foundation for spiritual intelligence is the word of God. The foundation for spiritual intelligence is the word of God. Now, this teaching I've given you, if any Christian will take it serious, I've solved all the problems you use 6 years warfare to do in one service. Some of you, your problem is anger and bitterness. That's your problem. Listen. Oh, my goodness. Hear me carefully. If you are doing warfare and you have bitterness, you win. If you are doing warfare and you have anger, you win. Can I give an example? For example, you came to all night. And at the all night, when you were coming, the usher told you to sit here, and you felt like you want to sit here. And the usher insisted and said, no, please, come and sit here. He says, no. And the usher said, no, please, the man of God said we should let you sit here. And you guys said, oh, you can't tell me what to do. What do you mean? Get out of my sight. And he went to sit down. And we are saying, lift up your voice. We want to send fire to our house. It won't work. Your fire won't go. And people don't know that. Your fire won't go. So that day, the all night, it was wasted. You were supposed to quickly confess and say, Lord, I acted in impatience. Please. I'm sorry. When you do that, you are free. Please, I'm teaching you something serious. That is why a lot of Christians, your boss, and God, listen to me. There are principles and legalities. If you have unforgiveness against someone, your prayers are powerless. So hear me. In the courtroom, there are weapons. One of them is forgiveness. One of them is offerings and sacrifices. Another is thanksgiving. Another is issuing of the blood of Jesus. All these things are used in a courtroom. So hear me carefully. If someone has deeply offended you and you have not openly mentioned the name of the person and said, Lord, I forgive this man. I forgive this woman. You are going nowhere in prayer. Some of you need to mention some people's names right now to deal with them before we pray, because your prayer will go nowhere if you have not apologized to your wife. There was a time I had an argument with my wife on Sunday morning. People didn't know I came to church. I didn't preach. Because if I've not settled issues with my home, which is my first church, I cannot preach to a church. And people don't know the secret. You will fight with people before you come. Listen to me. Some of you need to send some people text message right now and say, honey, I'm sorry. Baby, I didn't talk well. It's a prophecy. I just prophesied to 2 people. Adem won. Adem. Yes, Adem. So listen, these are things you must capture. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, every pain that has been caused me, which has made my heart heavy, I release the person from my heart. Mention the person's name right now. It is for your own good. It's not for the person. It is to strengthen your prayer. It can be your father because he did not take care of you. It can be your mother and you have kept it for 13 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. It is destroying your spiritual warfare. It is making you powerless in prayer. Your prayers are ineffective. Some of you are offended with your husband. Forgive him first before your prayer can work. Some of you, your wife, you want to pray. Lift your voice and pray. Anybody that has hurt you big time, that you have held on to this hurt for a long time, you have to release the person to be fully released. And hear me, this, what we are doing is a serious matter here. If you don't release the person now, you are still in prison. You are still in prison. It is hard. He took your business money. He took your capital. He took your profit. Release him. Release him. Release him. Release her. You fought with your sister. It's been 2 years. You have never spoken to her. Release her. It may be hard, but start from forgiveness. You can forgive someone, but it will take time to heal. Talk to the Lord. Release the person right now. This is not for everybody. It's for the broken. It's for the humble. It's for the contrite. Who knows that Jesus knew that they have sinned so many sins, and Jesus came to die for them, but they can forgive. Forgetting that Jesus saw all their sins and forgave them. But you can't forgive one sin. God is giving you a chance today to make it right. Mention the name of the person without shouting. I forgive you. I forgive you. It can be a pastor friend. I forgive you. I forgive you. It doesn't mean you'll be friends again. It doesn't mean you'll go back into friendship, but you have dealt with it before God. What you are doing now is spiritual healing. Because a lot of Christians are on the battlefield, but they are wounded. They are hurt. So they are not effective. There are wounds in their heart. There is bitterness in their heart. There is resentment in their heart. There is revenge. They want to pay someone back. Release. Release. I am the Lord that He led thee. I am the Lord, your healer, who sent your word.